It is true. We are talking about Sabbath today, talking about what it means to celebrate Sabbath and experience Sabbath in our lives. We'll be talking about it this week and then also next week. And so our scripture for today comes to us from chapter 58 of the book of Isaiah. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or serving your own interests or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What is Sabbath? What is Sabbath according to Scripture, and what is it according to us now, this day? Is it God taking a nap, as Emily said? The best description that I think I can give to us about Sabbath is from Scripture, but I also heard it from another pastor. Sabbath is smaller parts of a bigger whole. So we have a Sabbath day out of our week, but Scripture also tells us about Sabbath weeks out of our year, even Sabbath years out of our life. There's a year called the Year of Jubilee in Scripture. It's 1 year out of every 49 after every 7 cycles of 7 years. And we're going to talk about it in more detail at our Sunday school class before worship next week, which is a commercial. You should come. We had 2 people 2 weeks ago. This week we had 6 people. Next week we might have a dozen people. I don't know. But it's a really great opportunity to dig deep into Scripture. And Sabbath, as a smaller part of a bigger whole, is a concept in Scripture that is just brilliant. Our God is brilliant. And we can also take that Sabbath concept, even smush it down smaller. Instead of thinking about a Sabbath day out of our week, what does it mean to have a Sabbath just minute out of our hour, or Sabbath hour out of our day? What would it mean to have a Sabbath second where we just take a deep breath? So I had some photos that I wanted to show, and a story about that ties into this concept of Sabbath, and it also does double duty. I'm all about doing double duty in my sermons, and this is a double duty of telling you about a very important person in my life that I've been wanting to tell you about, and her name is Kelly. And so you see Kelly's picture up on the top right. She was my best, number one best friend in San Antonio. She's the pastor of University Presbyterian Church in San Antonio, and we worked together a lot. That first picture there on the left says 100 faith leaders against family detention. She and I were some of the, most prominent leaders in the PCUSA against family detention. That picture was broadcast all around Texas and certainly in our country. And then that picture right below that says, I love the PCUSA. That's a little nerdy, right? But we do. We loved our denomination, the PCUSA. That was taken in Louisville as Kelly ran to be the moderator of the whole church. She didn't win, but she ran, and it was a really great and valiant fight that she had, and I got to be kind of like the campaign manager. I was cheering her on and kind of helping her with speeches and doing all the things that she needed to do. And then that final picture there on the right is a picture of the day that the Supreme Court approved same-sex marriage. There was a bunch of faith leaders in San Antonio that had decided if that approval happened that we would be present at the very first marriage in San Antonio. So everybody just kind of gathered together. Very quickly, a bunch of pastors got together and decided who was going to do what, and we had a wedding on that day. So Kelly is somebody that her life really influenced who I am. So much of the choices that I make in ministry as a minister, so many of the ways that I lead and teach and talk are influenced by her. And so I wanted you to know who she is and who she was, because Kelly is no longer with us. She died in 2015, and she died right in front of my eyes. We were on a retreat in Mo Ranch in Texas. And when I say we were on a retreat, I mean that we were leading a retreat. We weren't actually retreating. Kelly was leading a workshop on immigrant women, and I was leading a workshop on faith and family. And it was during that week, that last week of her life, that while we were at this retreat, we sat down and talked a little bit about what it means to rest and to not be so busy. Kelly talked about how busy her life was, and I agreed that my life was as busy. We were talking about what a constant struggle it is to keep up with life. She said something that I have never been able to shake. She said that she felt like every day she got up with a to-do list that chased after her, and that her life was becoming a constant struggle to absolve herself of guilt. She didn't have time to get everything done. There's always somebody left who needs to be rescued, somebody else who needs to be visited, something else to do and get done. And in that conversation, we talked about what it means to take time off, to go away, to take a break. And then 2 days later, she had a massive stroke from which she didn't recover. I was the one that rode with her in the ambulance to the hospital in Kerrville, Texas. I met her family in San Antonio. I was the very last person to see her before she was taken off to be an organ donor. I will never, ever forget officiating at her memorial service while sneaking little bites of crackers to fend off the morning sickness of carrying Marina. Have you ever had a moment in your life, a tragedy, or something so profound that all of a sudden everything in your life suddenly becomes clear and in focus? That, for me, was what happened when Kelly died. I realized that we're not guaranteed to have another day or another minute in this life. And Kelly did not die wishing that she had taken less breaks or taken less time to enjoy this life. If you call the Sabbath a delight, Scripture says, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. Very soon after Kelly died, I wasn't sure that I wanted to even be a minister anymore. My grief was that deep, that big, that profound, and overwhelming. I have my congregation in San Antonio to thank for gently carrying me along through that dark time, loving my family, reminding us that ministry and life are a gift, and though grief is great, we go on. I was profoundly changed by that moment, though. I've learned, I think, I hope, I'm still learning, what it means to truly honor Sabbath rest, to take resting as seriously as I take working. If God can take a rest, why can't we? For now, my Sabbath day is Fridays, the same day as Pastor Cliff and Pastor Debbie. I promise you, if someone is dying or in the hospital, I will be available to you on that day. Other than that, I will be taking a Sabbath day, just as God commands, because I know what happens when we don't do that. It's not just Sabbath days that I hope to be taking. It's Sabbath moments, Sabbath hours, Sabbath weeks. Maybe someday I will take a Sabbath month. How about you? What sort of Sabbath are you taking? Some of us, I think, are in seasons where Sabbath is really, really difficult. Sabbath is really difficult if you have a newborn baby. That baby needs to eat and to drink no matter what. We can't just be taking a day off when we have a new baby. Some of us are in the beginning of jobs or seasons where jobs just won't let up. And that's okay for a season. But some of us do have the opportunity, even though we don't think that we do, to take a moment or an hour or a day to rest as God commands. To take a chunk out of the time that God has given us for rest is holy. It's necessary. Oh, but you don't know my life, Pastor Tracy, some of you will say. Well, first of all, try me. Second of all, If we think that we are too busy, we are in a sense saying that we are greater than God. There is a sense of arrogance, I think, in being too busy to slow down, to take a breath, to take a moment, to have Sabbath, to have rest. So for us as a community of faith, what would it look like for each of us to encourage one another to do less? What if we decided to give ourselves a break, not only as individuals, but as a church, to slow down, to see what comes up and what is growing in this fertile soil of rest and new life? My prayer for each of us is that we would consider this as we go about our hours, our days, our weeks, and our years. We're about to enter into a time of communion, of Holy Communion. This Sunday is World Communion Sunday. We'll be joining in communion with brothers and sisters across our city, our nation, the whole world. And so as you take the bread and the juice today, as you come forward and you take that bread and dip it in the juice, or maybe you want to take a piece of bread in your cup of juice, take a moment, just a second, take a deep breath. Let it be a moment of consecrated, holy Sabbath. And may it be a start of more Sabbath to come in your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, thanks be to God. Amen.